Hello and welcome to The Essential Reads. My name is Isaac, and my goal is to bring to you a bunch of classic audiobooks in an easy and accessible way. We are continuing with Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain, and if you like what we're doing here, or what I'm doing here more so, it is just me, and you want to support me, you can like, share, comment, leave a review if you're listening on podcast, or if you really want to support, for as little as €1 a month, you can join the Patreon where you have access to exclusive audiobooks. Without further ado, let's get started. Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain. Chapter 40. We were feeling pretty good after breakfast, and took my canoe and went over the river a-fishing with a lunch, and had a good time, and took a look at the raft and found her all right, and got home late to supper, and found them in such a sweat and worry they didn't know which end they was standing on, and made us go right off to bed the minute we was done supper, and wouldn't tell us what the trouble was, and never let on a word about the new letter. But didn't need to, because we knowed as much about it as anybody did. And as soon as we was half upstairs and our back was turned, we slid for the cellar cupboard and loaded up a good lunch and took it to our room and went to bed. Got up about 11:30, and Tom put on Aunt Sally's dress that he stole. I was going to start with the lunch, but says, "Where's the butter?" "I laid out a hunk of it," I says, "on a piece of corn pone." "Well, you left it laid out then. It ain't here." "We can get along without it," I says. "We can get along with it, too," he says. "Just you slide down cellar and fetch it. Then mosey right down lightning rod and come along. I'll go and stuff the straw in Jim's clothes to represent his mother in disguise and be ready to bawl like a sheep and shove as soon as you get there." So out he went, and down the cellar went I. The hunk of butter, big as a person's fist, was where I left it. So I took up the slab of corn pone with it on, blowed out my light, and started upstairs, very stealthy, and got to the main floor all right. But here comes Aunt Sally with a candle, and I got the truck in my hat, and clapped my hat on my head, and the next second she sees me, and says, "You been down the cellar?"
Yes'm.
"What you been doing down there?"
"Nothing."
"Nothing?
No'm."
"Well, then what possessed you to go down there this time of night?"
I don't know, ma'am."
"You don't know?" "Don't answer me that way, Tom. I want to know what you've been doing down there."
"I ain't been doing a single thing, Aunt Sally. I hope to gracious if I have." "I reckon she'd let me go now, and as a general thing, she would. But I suppose there was so many strange things going on, she was just in a sweat about every little thing that weren't yardstick straight. So she says, very decided,
'You just march into that there settin' room, and stay there till I come. You've been up to something you no business to, and I lay I'll find out what it is before I'm done with you.'
So she went away as I opened the door, and walked into the setting room. My, but there was a crowd there, 15 farmers, and every one of them had a gun. I was most powerful sick, and I slunk in a chair and sat down. They were sitting around, some of them talking a little in a low voice, and all of them fidgety and uneasy, but trying to look like they weren't. But I knowed they was, because they was always taking off their hats and putting them on, and scratching their heads and changing their seat, and fumbling with their buttons. I weren't easy myself, but I didn't take my hat off all the same. I did wish Aunt Sally would come and get done with me, and lick me if she wanted to, let me get away and tell Tom how we'd overdone this thing, and what a thundering hornet's nest we got ourselves into, so we could stop fooling around straight off and clear out with Jim before these rips got out of patience and come for us. At last, she come, and began to ask me questions, but I couldn't answer them straight. I didn't know which end was up, because these men was in such a fidget now that some was wanting to start right now and lay for the desperados, and saying it weren't but a few minutes to midnight, and others was trying to get them to hold on and wait for the sheep signal. And here was Auntie, pegging away at the questions, and me a-shaking all over, ready to sink down in my tracks, I was that scared. And the place getting hotter and hotter, and the butter began to melt and run down my neck, behind my ears. And pretty soon, when one of them says, "I'm for going and getting the cabin first, right now, and catching them when they come," I most dropped, and a streak of butter come trickling down my forehead. And Aunt Sally, she see it, and turns white as a sheet, and says,
"For the land's sake, what's the matter with this child? He got the brain fever as sure as you're born. They oozing out."
and everybody runs to see. She snatches off my hat, and out comes the bread, and what's left of the butter. And she grabbed me and hugged me and says, "Oh, what turn you did give me! How glad and grateful I am, it ain't no worse, for luck's against us. And it never rains, but it pours. When I see that truck, I thought we lost you. I know by the color and all, it was just like your brains would be if... Oh, dear, why don't you tell me that that was what you'd been down there for? I wouldn't have cared. Now clear out to bed, and don't let me see no more of you till morning." I was upstairs in a second, down the lightning rod in another one, and shinning through the dark for the lean-to. I couldn't hardly get my words out, I was so anxious. But told Tom as quick as I could, we must jump for it now, not a minute to lose. Ass full of men yonder, with guns. His eyes just blazed, and he says, "No? Is that so? Ain't it bully? Why, Huck, if it was to do over again, I bet I could fetch 200, if we could put it off till... Hurry, hurry," I says. "Where's Jim?" "Right at your elbow. Bring out your arm, you can touch him. He's dressed and everything's ready. Now we'll slide out and give the sheep signal." But then we heard the tramp of men coming to the door. I heard them begin to fumble with the padlock, and heard a man say, "I told you we'd be too soon. They haven't come. Door's locked. Here, I lock some of you in the cabin, and you lay for 'em in the dark, and kill 'em when they come. And the rest scatter a piece, and listen if you can hear 'em coming." So in they come, but couldn't see us in the dark. Most trod on us whilst we was hustling to get under the bed. But we got under all right, and out through the hole, swift but soft. Jim first, me next, and Tom last, which was according to Tom's orders. Now we was in the lean-to, and heard tramplings close by outside. So we crept to the door, and Tom stopped us there, and put his eye out of the crack, but couldn't make nothing out, it was so dark. And whispered, and said he would listen for the steps to get further. And when he nudged us, Jim must glide out first, and him last. So he set his ear to the crack, and listened, and listened, and listened. And the steps, a-scraping around, out there, all the time. And at last, he nudged us, and we slid out, and stooped down, not breathing, and not making the least noise, and slipped stealthily towards the fence and engine file, and got to it all right. Me and Jim over it, but Tom's britches catched fast on a splinter on the top rail. And then he hears the steps coming, so he had to pull loose, which snapped the splinter and made a noise. And as he dropped in our tracks and started, somebody sings out, "Who's that? Answer or I'll shoot!" But we didn't answer. We just unfurled our heels and shoved. Then there was a rush and a bang, bang, bang. And the bullets fairly whizzed round us. We heard them sing out, "There they are! They broke for the river! After 'em, boys! Turn loose the dogs!" So here they come, full tilt. We could hear 'em because they wore boots and yelled. But we didn't wear no boots and didn't yell. We was in the path to the mill. When they got pretty close on us, we dodged into the bush and let them go by, and dropped in behind them. And they had all the dogs shut up, so they wouldn't scare off the robbers. But by this time, somebody had let them loose, and here they come, making powwow enough for millions. But they was our dogs, so we stopped in our tracks till they catched up. And when they see it weren't nobody but us, and no excitement to offer them, they only just said howdy, and tore right ahead towards the shouting and clattering. And then we steam up again, and whizzed along after them, till it was nearly the mill, and then snuck up through the bush to where my canoe was tied, and hopped in and pulled for dear life towards the middle of the river, but didn't make no more noise than we was obliged to. And then we struck out, easy and comfortable, for the island where my raft was, and we could hear 'em yelling and barking at each other all up and down the bank, till we was so far away the sound got dim and died out. And when we stepped on the raft, I says, "Now, old Jim, you're a free man again. I bet you won't ever be a slave no more."
"Mighty good job it was too, Huck. It is planned beautiful, and it is done beautiful. And there ain't nobody can get up a plan that's more mixed up and splendid than what that one was."
Well, it was all we could. We was all glad as we could be. But Tom was the gladdest of all, because he had a bullet in the calf of his leg. When me and Jim heard that, we didn't feel so brash as what we did before. It was hurting him considerable and bleeding, so he laid him in the wigwam and tore up one of the Duke's shirts for to bandage him with. But he says, "Give me the rag. I can do it myself. Don't stop now. Don't fool around here." And the invasion boomed along so handsome. "Man the sweeps and set her loose. Boys, we done it elegant. Deed we did. I wish we'd have had the handling of Louis XVI. There wouldn't have been no son of St. Louis to sent to heaven, wrote down in his biography. No, sir. We'd have whipped him over the border. That's what we'd have done with him. Done it just as slick as nothing at all, too. Man, the sweeps. Man, the sweeps." But me and Jim was consulting and thinking. And after we'd thought a minute, I says, "Say it, Jim." So he says,
"Well then, this is the way it looked to me, Huck. If it was him that has been saw free, and one of the boys was to get shot, would he say, 'Go on, save me, nemini by the doctor for to save this one?' Is that like Mars Tom Sawyer? Would he say that? You bet he wouldn't. Well, then, is Jim gwine say it? No, sir. I don't budge a step out in this place without a doctor, if it not for 40 years.
I knowed he was white inside, and I reckoned he'd say what he did say, so it was all right now. And I told Tom I was going for a doctor. He raised considerable row about it. Me and Jim stuck to it and wouldn't budge. So he was for crawling out and setting the raft loose himself, but we wouldn't let him. And then he gave us a piece of his mind, but it didn't do no good. So when he sees me getting the canoe ready, he says, 'Well, then, if you're bound to go, I'll tell you the way to do when you get to the village. Shut the door, blindfold the doctor tight and fast, and make him swear to be silent as the grave, and put a purse full of gold in his hand. And then take and lead him all round the back alleys and everywhere in the dark, and then fetch him here in the canoe, in a roundabout way amongst the islands, and search him, and take his chalk away from him. And don't give it back to him till you get him back to the village, or else he would chalk this raft so he can find it again. It's the way they all do.' So I said I would, and left. And Jim was to hide in the woods when he see the doctor coming, till he was gone again."
Thank you so very much for listening. If you enjoyed, please like, comment, share, all that jazz. And if you really enjoyed, do subscribe, because there is more to come. Jim is free! Jim is out. They have rescued him, and finally Tom Sawyer's convoluted plan is over. Or is it? Tom's been shot, and we've got to find out what the doctor is going to do in the next chapter. I mean, I know, but you don't. So you'll have to find out. Once again, thank you so much for listening, and if you enjoyed, do all the things that I said at the start of the video, like, subscribe, share, review, and if you really want to support me, go to the Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Once again, thank you very much for listening, and until next time, bye-bye.